Hey everyone, welcome to Heartfork Live, a podcast for everything Web3. I am Castro, your host. Today I had the pleasure of talking to builders and founders at Router Protocol. Now Router is a secure, scalable, modular, composable framework for building cross-chain applications. We had really interesting discussion points about what cross-chain, what decentralization means, got a bit deeper into what actually makes sense to build in blockchain from a builder perspective. So a lot of valuable insights in this episode that you don't want to miss. But before we continue, a few words from our sponsors. Building applications on blockchain is complicated and expensive today. And a lot of builders always face this question, should I go and build this thing in-house? And I need to maintain it, it's going to be costly, it's going to be hard, and my main focus is on building my own application, not to maintain the infrastructure. Or should I go and use an unreliable or too centralized solution out there, which doesn't allow me to scale in the right way? Flare.dev comes in and tries to solve these core problems for integrating blockchain into your application. The core of what Flare does is a smart contract framework that is scalable. So you can deploy any smart contract on Flare, fully decentralized, and you can upgrade it in a decentralized way as your project progresses. So that gives you ultimate flexibility and scalability. Also, for a lot of protocols or projects, there is a flow of reading, indexing, or streaming data from blockchain, whether it is token data, transaction data, NFT data, or your custom smart contracts events. You want to be able to process that data in a flexible way, maybe make some external API calls or process that data in a unique way and react on that index data in a certain method. For example, relaying a transaction on blockchain or storing that data in your MySQL, MongoDB or AWS. Or for example, sending a message to your Discord, Telegram. Basically that flow of reading the data or an event, processing it and triggering an action, Flare gives you the core tools you need for indexing and relaying and storing that data in the most scalable, easy to use and decentralized way. So if you want to learn more about Flare, definitely make sure to check their website, which is flare.dev. That is flair.dev. Shubham, Venkatesh, welcome to the podcast. How's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks for having us here and looking forward to this discussion.
It's amazing to have both of you. I think today we're going to talk about a lot of cool things related to cross-chain, also what you guys are building at Router Protocol. But maybe before diving in, I'd really love to hear about your background and what made you interested in building a product in Web3. Shubham, maybe starting with you.
Perfect. So just to give you first my background and then how we started with Router. So I've been working with decentralized systems and blockchain since 2016, I guess. And then later on, tried a lot of things during the way, tried decentralized exchanges, derivative systems, and then finally core into blockchain interoperability. So that's how we started Router, where we observed that if you really want to scale any system and technology, you want interoperability. A system cannot scale in isolation. So I feel that the moment you introduce interoperability, the possibilities becomes huge, right? So you can utilize different systems for their strengths. And same happens in Web2. You can utilize storage of a system and security of a system. Similarly, you should be able to utilize it in Web3 also, where computation of a system should be utilized parallelly with the security of the system. That was the core thought behind Router when we started.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just so much to dive deep into that, but maybe also get a background of Venkatesh. Well, how did you start kind of building stuff in Web3 and how did you join Router Protocol?
Hey, thanks for having us. So myself, Venkatesh, and I'm a veteran blockchain engineer. I have worked with various blockchain companies, starting with Consensus, and then I was a core blockchain engineer at Matic, now the Polygon, and also with Injective Protocol. So over last 3 to 4 years, I have been working in blockchain space and have been observing the challenges that are being faced for blockchains to scale. And that's how I got interested into interoperability layer, where this is next important problem to solve for blockchains to be scaled and adopted. And when I Shubham is a good friend of mine, and we collaborated on the discussion of how we can solve the interoperability layer and solve for scalability. And that's how my journey with Router has begun.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think it's really kind of interesting that you guys have started thinking about one of the core problems in the space. I think there's a lot of, hobby problems or things that are actually not real or just so far ahead in future. But, this cross-chain interactions is a problem today. So someone needs to think about it and kind of make it simple. But maybe trying to go back a bit to kind of the root of the problem, or why do we even need different chains? In the beginning, I thought, when I started kind of, going to the blockchain space, I thought that there's all these different chains are there because they want to maybe take advantage of the hype. But as time went by, I understood that, okay, maybe there is an element of that, but there are different application specific chains that, for example, one chain is good for that purpose and another chain is good for another purpose. So it kind of makes sense for us to have different chains. I'm really curious to hear your thoughts and your feelings about why do we need different chains on blockchain?
So the idea goes before this, actually. So how do we realize that we need different chains, right? Before we even realize that, okay, different chains are required, right? That's when we realize that one chain is incompetent of having it all. So when you try to achieve decentralization without proper accommodation of scalability, you will have something like Bitcoin blockchain, where it was invented only for one purpose, and no consideration was there for any further evolution. Now the setup is decentralized, so you cannot eliminate it. Same for Ethereum Classic, right? You have a chain which no one uses, but then also you cannot take it down. So that is the core of decentralized system. Now, the moment you realize that chain is incompetent for such and such purposes, right? Then you try to build more scalable or more future-proof chains. But then there is still value locked in old chain, right? So that's how you end up with different type of chain with different capabilities. So it's basically incompetence of one chain led to introduction of another chain. And that's why you have multi-chain ecosystem right now.
Oh, it's
Also,
really interesting.
just to add to the point of Shubham, so in blockchain application, in any blockchain, if you take, there is a concept called blockchain trilemma, where there are three critical factors of any blockchain, which is security, scalability, and decentralization. And none of the blockchains could solve all the three capabilities or the functionalities. Considering, decentralization, the more the decentralization is, the less scalable it can be. So any of the blockchain is trying to solve, two of these three functionalities, and that's how the need for multiple blockchains has emerged, and each blockchain tries to solve, some aspects of this trilemma.
Yeah, both of you made very interesting points. I mean, to Shubham's initial point, which was the core idea of, like Bitcoin was very interesting, but maybe they haven't thought about, what would happen if, I don't know, 10,000 user, 100,000 user, 1 million user would adopt this. Then what are we gonna do? So maybe scalability wasn't actually thought from the beginning, and the trilemma aspect also is really kind of core to the problem we have, because I think no matter what you do, then you're going to sacrifice a portion of that. So maybe there are, I don't know, different use cases that need higher scalability, and there are some use cases that need higher security, for example. But you still need to be able to have a way to communicate between, let's say, all these different chains. So maybe trying to bring that conversation back to like what you guys are doing at Router Protocol, which is, you know, a cross-chain communication layer on top of all these chains. What is the kind of the most core thing that you guys are trying to tackle? Is it is the highest need right now, for example, liquidity is scattered across all these different chains, and there needs to be a solution like yours that, you know, bridges this? Or are we talking about even other aspects of, you know, cross communication, cross-chain communication, for example, the data or assets or other different things between these different blockchains? How do you see that for a Router Protocol?
So as per the current vision that we have for the product that we are working on, right? So we are trying to solve for modularity and composability, right? How the product is future-proof, how the product is capable of solving something that's not identified, being able to address unseen, right? So let's say there's a new blockchain of which we don't know the architecture, right? And our chain should be able to accommodate that, should be able to provide interoperability with that. So that is the main aim of the product right now. Should be able to solve for composability, newness of the ecosystem. As the ecosystem evolves, the chain should be able to evolve and should allow users to utilize capabilities of different chains at one place. For example, one should be able to utilize security of Ethereum and scalability of Solana in their dApp. One should be able to store and process user transactions on Solana, but keeping funds of those users on Ethereum and having that settlement layer between both the chains. So this is something which we are aiming for, having more cross-chain apps deployed on our platform, where we provide different toolkits to achieve this. This sort of like, this is inspired from Web2 systems, where you have different payment gateways and storages, where your payment gateways doesn't need to interact with your storage and both are isolated and efficient in their own ways. But then you have overall compute system, which is facilitating you both of these. So this is what we are working on. Bit deeper, I guess Venkatesh can go on like how exactly we are doing this. Please, Venki, feel free to chime in.
Yeah. So, you know, interoperability actually promotes a more decentralized and inclusive blockchain ecosystem, where it allows the developers and dApps to access, you know, wide range of blockchain networks and services and you know, collaborate in the blockchain space, right? It also makes it easier for users to access and manage their digital assets, which are spread across various blockchains. So with interoperability, an user can move their assets between different blockchain networks, exchange their assets with other users, and, you know, they can manage their you know, portfolio regardless of what the underlying blockchain network it is using, right? So that's exactly what we are trying to solve. And, you know, as we know, there are various set of bridging solutions out there, interoperability solutions out there, where most of them are already trying to solve for, you know, transferring the tokens from one chain to other chain, or, you know, transferring the messages from one chain to other chain. But however, there is a need to build any true cross-chain application. There is much more that is required, which is where we started innovating what a true cross-chain application would look like, right? So take an example where, you know, users spread across, you know, multiple blockchains, and all these users are trying to transfer their funds to Polygon chain, right? Now, you know, if you are just using existing bridges where you can, each user will initiate a request on the source chain, and this request has to be executed on the Polygon chain. So there will be a requirement of 1:1 transaction where on the source, the request is initiated, and on the destination like Polygon where, you know, the funds are transferred, right? But this is not flexible or flexible enough for an application to build any optimizations that they would need. So for example, to optimize this use case where multiple users request, where we are sending, you know, individually to the destination chain, can be batched into a single request and, you know, submitted to the chain, destination chain, where all the transfers can happen at once, right? This is a simple optimization which any cross-chain transfer can build to solve for, you know, cost, to solve for latency. So this is an important need for the cross-chain applications, where they should have the flexibility to build their customizations or optimizations at a bridge layer, which is the middleware layer. And that's how, you know, we started thinking of solving this by building a stateful bridging. So where we have created our router chain, which can act as a bridge with customizations provided for the applications to add their, you know, optimizations which they want to. That's very unique thing which we are trying to solve, and we envision the cross-chain applications will utilize the flexibility of bridging and build a more optimized applications on top of it.
Yeah, I love that. I think also one thing I have seen a lot is a lot of projects or platforms maybe shout out interoperability, but I mean, they're not actually delivering on top of that, which is, you know, maybe, and maybe they have liquidity on one chain and also another chain, and that's what they call this kind of process. But it seems like you guys are going much deeper into that. And as you mentioned, you're giving the developers much more customizability to be able to, kind of customize this bridging process to the needs of their application. Any kind of challenges that you are facing? Because this is a really hard problem to do. I'm imagining, for example, there's the security aspects. There is, there's not kind of a unified way of, you know, for example, agreeing on the consensus on different chains, especially that you guys are supporting a lot of different chains. What has been the biggest challenges in technical terms for you to work on solving this problem?
Very, very interesting question. So here, you know, one major challenge which we have observed is, you know, security of the bridges, right? Like, we keep hearing a lot of bridges that are getting hacked. And that's one critical problem. We want to solve it really, really well. So that's where we created our, you know, security layer, where we divided our security into multi-layered architecture, where router chain acts as a layer one, which is built on top of a POS consensus mechanism. So each request that gets routed via router chain gets validated by the POS consensus, where validators of router chain will be validating each cross-chain transaction. Also, above this, we have built another layer of security, which is, you know, application level security, where we have built a modular mechanism where applications can plug in their own custom security model, which can be used as a second layer of security, where, you know, even in case they don't they want to have better security model, like, you know, custom waiting period or custom multisig, to ensure that, you know, it adapts to their requirements, we have created this plugin model where applications can plug in their smart contracts, which acts as their second layer of security. And any cross-chain request will go through and gets to execution only after it passes these two layers of security. One is the POS consensus of router chain plus application level security, which is a customization again provided to the applications as per their needs they can plug in.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I think the way I really like about how you guys are approaching this is that it is unopinionated and it's modular. So it's not that, you're brute forcing a certain way of, making sure the security is handled or the consensus is handled. So just by giving this modular, let's say, building blocks to developers, you are kind of guarding yourself from all the changes that is going to happen, with different, blockchains and everything. So this is really fascinating. Maybe just to make it very clear for different developers or different projects that are listening to this podcast, what are the common use cases for Web3 projects when it comes to having the need for cross-chain, let's say, bridging or communication? I think the most common thing we are seeing is, wallets or some, DEXs need this, but have you seen any other use cases for projects that would require such a system?
So I see the question is a bit more fundamental here, right? So majority of the projects are restricted the way they are because there is no elegant solution for interoperability. Majority of the solutions out there have to keep their data and funds at a place because there's no efficient way to keep them separately. So the moment, it's like, you don't have solutions because you don't have infrastructure. You could not think of parallel compute before AWS came into picture, right? Before these distribution systems came into picture. Similarly, possibilities, you'll only arrive when you have such competent system in place. Then you start seeing, okay, so you have scheduler on chain, you have multi-level connectivity between chains, one-to-n chains connectivity, right? One event triggered on one chain, resulting in n number of events on different chains. You have funds on one chain getting dispersed to different clients on different chains, right? So these are the use cases that will start kicking in. Similar to these, we are thinking like internally, there can be use cases that we can think of. We are sort of like working on those use cases internally. But right now the system is very restricted. Right now the ecosystem is very restricted because there's no such solution out there.
Also to add a simple what kind of applications that can be built, right? Or, how an application builder should start thinking about cross-chain application is, as we discussed about trilemma, right, where there is a need of security versus scalability. Take an example of two blockchains like Ethereum and Polygon, where Ethereum is well secured while Polygon is well scalable, right? Now, for an application, like an example of a governance application, right? Now, in a governance application, there are a sequence of steps like, creating a governance proposal, and then users participate in voting on the proposal, and then finalization of the proposal, whether it is successful or not. I mean, if I simplify that. So if you take these three steps where there is an involvement of user funds and also creation of proposal, and then, voting, and then, finalization, right? In this, there is the proposal and handling of the funds is a very critical functionality which has to happen on a more secured chain like Ethereum, while the functionalities like voting can be delegated to a chain like Polygon, where it is cheaper and also faster, where users can easily participate and vote on it. And as the requirement here is the voting period is, let's say, like few days or a few hours of voting period. So here scalability versus scalability and cost is much more important to solve for than the security. While Polygon do provide the good security as well. So to build such kind of application where you need to look at breaking down your application into various requirements of security, scalability, and then try to delegate some portion of the work or some portion of the task to the other blockchain and solve for various factors. So that's where cross-chain would really add value for the applications to be more adopted by the users. As we know, right? Today in any governance applications, governance use cases, very less participation from the users happen because there is a transaction cost associated with it and also the latency associated with it, which can be delegated to other chains and get it solved. That's how you can solve for more adoption, and that will be a good enabler for building true cross-chain governance application.
Yeah, both of you touch on very important points to Shubham's point. I think if a solution doesn't exist, then that could just hinder people from even thinking about the right way of doing something. For example, even before Ethereum, people didn't have an idea how to build scalably on blockchain because there was only Bitcoin. So somebody had to envision it and build it. And the same could be for cross-chain, that we cannot even think of some aspects because the infrastructure is not there. And also, to your point, Venkatesh, I think, the governance aspect that you mentioned is a really interesting example, because I think it's just a pain in the ass for, I don't know, different protocols or different things that, the community is spread across a lot of different chains. And maybe they just want to do a simple, snapshot or, voting. Then, all the hassle of, people need to, I don't know, if they could basically vote on each one of those chains separately and, having all those votes come through a cross-chain platform, I think that would be really, really amazing. Make it much, much easier for adoption, for ease of use, also for transferring of funds, probably when there are more use cases in future. I don't know, gaming, all of those things. It just makes it much easier for people to adopt a blockchain technology, in my opinion. And I think that's what we should all strive for. Just make it easier and easier for people to get into this world. How much of your focus is on building these developer tools for, let's say, other builders? And do you have any, let's say, user applications that people can use to, I don't know, bridge their asset or funds between different chains?
So, Venki will further go down on the toolkits that we have, right? But we already have released version one of the protocol, and there is a tab built on top of it called Voyager. It allows you cross-chain swap, like one of the most elegant swapping mechanism out there, which requires only one interaction on the source chain and will allow you to swap any asset from chain one to chain two. You don't need to interact with the second chain. And then there's also with the second update of the protocol where we are releasing router chain, we did couple of apps on DevNet itself. One is cross-chain NFT minting solution. Another is a multi-chain contract deployment solution. Let's say you are a project on one chain, doesn't want to go to other chains, right? You can just do one-click deployment from your chain to any other chain, and your project will be live in all those chains. Similarly, there are more cool projects that we are thinking of and community is suggesting, and we are pitching in hackathons that will come later on. This is from like a product point of view, like what all is being built and what all can be built on router. About toolkit, Venki will mention. Venki, please.
Yeah. To add to the applications which we are building, we are also building one good use case for exchanging the testnet tokens on our current network, where people, especially the developers, sometimes might need testnet tokens to try out certain deployments of the contracts on various chains, right? But they might not be having tokens of that chain, but they would be having, let's say, testnet tokens of other chain like Gottlieb or Rinkeby, and I want to use Polygon, where I need Polygon Mumbai tokens, right? So we have built a simple, cool application where you can exchange these tokens, and this happens completely through cross chain, where you will be locking in your tokens of Rinkeby or Gottlieb, and there will be an exchange rate. As per that, the calculation will be done, and you'll be receiving the Polygon Mumbai tokens on Polygon network, which is a true cross-chain, exchange and transfer happens. So this is one cool application which we have built, and people welcome developers to try this out. And in terms of tooling, we have built very good tools solving the hurdles that are generally faced by the developers. One is for any blockchain, you should be able to track out your request end to end, and especially for a cross chain request, request will be initiated on a source chain, and then a request comes to router chain, validated by validators of router chain, and then delivered to the destination chain, right? So there are multiple steps, and there is multiple transactions happening, and we have built a tool called Router Scan, using which you can track each request, and what time it took for the request to be successful on source chain, and then on router chain, and then on the on the destination chain. So we have this tool for tracking end to end of the request, along with the time of each of these status changes, and also the cost that it has taken for this entire request. And we do provide acknowledgments, which is something very interesting. For each request, you would be getting an acknowledgment of status of the execution, so you can take certain actions on top of it. Also, another cool feature which I want to explain is, we support read calls between chain A and chain B. So your application sitting on the chain A can send a read call to know what is the status of the user balance on chain B. And this is something very cool, where you can take actions based on the state of other chain, instead of just triggering a request from chain A to chain B, right? This is one very interesting feature. And another tool which we have built is something cool. In cross-chain bridging layer or interoperability layer, none of the protocols are actually solving for gasless transactions, right? So far, you initiate a request where on the source chain, user will pay for the funds, pay for the fee, and then request gets executed. But what we have came up with is, instead of user, the application can pay for the fee for the user, or it can be any third-party service which can act as a fee payer for paying this transaction. And that's where the again, solving for adoption, and for developers, this could be something very cool for their users to try it out, where they just use some external service like Byconomy or any third-party fee payer services, and make a gasless transaction from which is a cross-chain. And there are various other tools as well for developers to try out. We have a sandbox environment called Router Station, where people can just connect their wallet. They can write down their smart contract, and using that sandbox environment, they can deploy and test their smart contracts, which is similar to Remix version of for Ethereum, for Solidity. We have similar version over here. And there are other tools to write end-to-end test cases, which we are calling as Router Robot, where You just deploy your contract on chains, and then you can initiate a transaction via this tool, and it will be helping you to track out end-to-end, transaction. Yeah, these are some of the cool tools, and there is a lot more. Yeah.
So many things happening behind the scenes. These are all great and not only cool, but I think super useful. The testnet token you mentioned, the gasless experience, these testing tools, the sandbox environment. I think all of them would be really useful for people that want to think about, cross-chain application building. And I think each one of these tools would help in a portion of the work. So it's really amazing that you guys are thinking about this and working on them. Had a question actually about the gasless experience. Like, how would that work? Because we know that already there are gasless experience on tools and infrastructure tools. How would your tooling help with? Is it that it can initiate gasless experience on different chains? Is that the caveat? I want to make sure I got that part correct.
So how does it work is, let's say on source chain, user initiates a request, right? Here there is a field called fee payer, right? In this fee payer, either it can be user or it can be an application which he is interacting with, or it can be any if you're setting it to nil, so anyone else can act as a fee payer for the transaction. So from the user's point of view, he if let's say this service is provided by some third-party services. Let's take an example of Byconomy, right? Now, user will just initiate a request on source saying fee payer to nil. Now, this request is submitted to router chain, and on router chain, this third-party service can be, looping over all the transactions where fee payer is nil, and they will be paying for the fee instead of the user. So from user's point of view, it is gasless because he doesn't pay for it, and it is the third party services which are paying, and there could be some incentive model that can be structured over here for third party services to pitch in and pay for the fee.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Just opens it for, more experiments and, hopefully more innovation.
Yeah, and cool thing here is, generally, when users are trying to make a cross-chain transaction, they may not have the funds of this native token of that chain, right? The source chain. So, interesting factor which we have taken into account is, user doesn't have to hold native tokens of the various chains to pay for the transaction fee. We have provided this capability to pay fee only in single token, which could be a route token or it could be some stable coin, so that user just have to maintain one token in their account, and only on one chain, which is router chain, and all the fee settlement will be done on router chain. That way, again, it is very cool feature where user doesn't have to be worrying about having balances of native tokens on various chains. They just have one single address on router chain, which can be used as a fuel to put your fees.
Yeah, that reduces the friction massively, I think. There should be a lot of potential in exploring this further. I think maybe it would be a good time to go on a bit of a higher level, one of the things that Shubham also mentioned, and that's kind of the general notion of decentralization. One thing that both of you mentioned was it's really important to think about all these different chains and try to accommodate them, and maybe that's actually the true decentralization. I'm really curious to kind of get your definition of, decentralization. How much do you care for that? And also how much importance do you put on different applications or different people who are building on Web3 to be chain agnostic or bridge agnostic in that sense?
So, very good question, I'd say. So, lately we had one discussion, right? So, we were thinking like why you need to decentralize. So, and then how does this came into picture, right? How developers or how even Satoshi came up with this thing, right? So, Decentralization is basically when you don't want to trust a system. When you want it to be trustless, you want it to be transparent, you decentralize it. You increase the fault tolerance of the system. So for a normal human, his life translates to the money that he earns. Your daily hours will translate to the money that you have in your bank. And with the banks, so let's say you work for 100 hours in a month, that translates to X amount, and then government goes and adds inflation. Now your 100 hours are 50 hours. You still did that 100 hours, right? But then there's no visible minting of money. So money was for sure the first thing that we wanted decentralized, or was thought to be decentralized first, right? But that puts light to various issues that has to be decentralized. For example, don't you think Gmail should be decentralized, right? The amount of sensitive information that Gmail has, I feel that is the first thing that has to be centralized. If Google goes down tomorrow, I don't know how many of us will be able to sleep. If there's a leak that, okay, all the emails are leaked right now, right? The amount of sensitive information those system contain is just massive. If these password manager has to go public, right? If there's no way to verify how your passwords are managed, right? So you want system to be transparent and decentralized. So I feel right now developers are understanding, and overall humans are understanding how to decentralize, or how important decentralization is. And eventually we'll get to a state where the pieces which are very sensitive to individuals, for example, privacy, for example, securities, assets, will only be in control of that individual.
I love that example, Shubham. I think you mentioned a very, very key idea about what would kind of count as, something that has to be decentralized. I think if we want to be kind of 100% decentralized, that's not practical really, because it will be not performant, or we cannot move fast enough. But we kind of need to see what are the core things today that we are really not happy that they're centralized. And as you mentioned, maybe money would come first. Why a government that can change its mind every day would be in control of that. And then privacy comes to my mind. And yeah, a lot of these aspects. And at the tail end, maybe some aspects that would really not make sense even to be decentralized. But if you're a decentralized maxi, you would maybe push for them. But I would say maybe that's not really practical today. So maybe try to focus the attention on the core things that make sense for it to be decentralized, and try to figure out a solution for them. I mean, I have seen a lot of different projects that, offer smart contracts, for example, in a centralized way. And I was not really happy with it, because I think the smart contract at the core of any dApp is holding your logic. So it necessarily doesn't make sense for another project to be in control of it, and it's not a really good idea maybe to go back to the Web 2 world. But for some aspects, I think it makes sense to be kind of more performant, more faster. And the caveat there is that, okay, it's not fully decentralized, but it's not really important to be decentralized maybe in that sense.
Honestly, yeah, I feel there's no need of decentralizing games. I just feel that's a bogus idea. I don't value that, to be honest, right? I'd not want to work on that if I want to continue contributing to ecosystem, right? So I'd want to solve the core problem, where if that problem is not solved, right? If that problem is exploited by any chance, people might not sleep at night, right? So those problems I'd want to solve. Games on blockchain, probably not.
For me personally, what decentralization mean is it can provide great autonomy to individuals and communities where, they can control their own resources, assets, and, they can make the decisions about how these assets or resources will be used. And also, it will help for the, experimentation and development of new technologies where you don't need any approval from some centralized authority. You can just go ahead and, try it out. And it's very transparent in nature, where all the transactions and activities are recorded on a public ledger, and it is accessible to everyone. So it can help prevent fraud and, corruption and various other scenarios.
Yeah, it can definitely be that. I think two important points that both of you mentioned was, the first one is, I think whatever that is, again, to core of someone's life and would maybe impact how that person is gonna contribute, capture value, all of those things. I think actually the best countries in the world have a better system for that, and maybe the worst countries in the world don't have a really good system for that. But blockchain has a kind of idea or vision that it can, close the gap and kind of bring this opportunity to a lot more people. And also just building on blockchain in a composable way, in a modular way, maybe the same way you guys are building at Router, is also a really interesting way of, innovation and creativity, because, you're not siloed in a environment that nobody is sharing information, or you cannot, get access to certain things. But in blockchain, I mean, somebody can come build on Ethereum and, for example, Aave, and then somebody can build on top of Aave, and all these kind of different applications that get built on top of each other can, bring a lot of value for the whole ecosystem and for the humanity, I think. So that's also what makes me interested to be in this space. As Shubham mentioned, I also want to think about the core problems, because they are the most fun and maybe the most challenging. And there are a lot of, hobby ideas that are going around that, I mean, they're interesting for 2 minutes, but maybe after 2 minutes you say, okay, what kind of problem is it solving? And then if it's not solving that, then I personally wouldn't have motivation to think or work on it. So I agree with both of you on that side. Maybe to, as we approach the end of the podcast, which is super, super insightful, what is upcoming for Router Chain in the next 6 months? What are the cool things we have planned for Router?
So as we are right now on DevNet phase, right? Soon we'll be launching with Testnet, and later on this year, mid of this year, sometime we'll be launching our mainnet. So we'll be releasing a product with a few fundamental changes on how we think of blockchain as a system, cross-chain as a system, and decentralization as a system. So we'll see a lot of changes and a lot of possibilities on how things can be imagined in this space as we move forward with Router Chain.
Should be very exciting. Venkatesh, any last words from your side?
Yeah, so we are currently in DevNet, and soon we are launching Testnet. And, we recommend the developers out there who are listening to the podcast to take a look at our documentation. And we have built very cool tools for which you using which you can just give it a try, like click of a button, and you'll be able to, see how things are working. And I would recommend the developers to just come over and give it a try.
All the links will be shared in the description. Make sure to check them out. Router team is super responsive. You can drop in Discord, Twitter. They're really helpful in answering your questions. So make sure to do that. And yeah, this was really exciting. Look out for what's coming for blockchain. I'm actually super excited about all the info knowledge that you shared. And yeah, thank you so much for both for joining. And see you guys in the next one.
Thanks. Thanks for having us on board.